guest today is Brent Steinman. Brent, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. You enjoying the MVP Summit?
Oh, wonderful time. Always is. I say always is the fact this is my second time here, so I'm
second
still
time. Well,
good
it's only
fun.
Been this Azure MVP program has only been around twice.
Yep.
And
yep.
You've been doing MVP since the origin of it.
Yes. I count myself very fortunate. Good
so
group of people.
It is a good group. Let's talk about Azure.
Okay. So what do you want to talk about today?
Let's continue the conversation we had earlier. You were saying that you're not fond of some of the metaphors that we're using in Azure, particularly this utility metaphor. And I've used this myself. Azure's like a utility. Mm-hmm. You turn the light switch on, you just expect it to be there.
Yep.
If your demand goes up, you turn 100 light switches on, you expect it to scale.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That metaphor falls short, you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's good in some ways. You know, so it brings into the fact you don't care how the power is generated, how it's delivered to your house. You're just consuming it. It's strictly, I want light. I flip the switch. I don't necessarily want electricity. I want light. Get it. It's a very consumer-friendly model. It's something that's easy to relate to. The problem is, unless you're doing something like consuming data from the cloud, which is a common scenario, it starts to break down because there's a lack of this trust relationship that's there.
Okay.
Now, if you look at something like platform as a service or even infrastructure as a service, in those cases...
Let's define those real quick.
Okay, so...
Infrastructure as a service is?
Where you're taking... Bill Wilder, I don't know if you've ever met Bill Wilder, he's out in Boston, came up with a great analogy for the three big scenarios you hear in cloud, SaaS, PaaS, and IaaS.
Okay.
So infrastructure as a service is bring your own VMs.
Okay.
You have a vendor that has the hardware, you're just putting your virtual machines in that hardware.
And you've
got to
install the operating system and all the applications yourself.
Yep, and you set up the networking that's in there, but you're doing it at a software level rather than at a physical hardware level.
Okay.
All right. Platform as a service is you bring your own apps.
Okay.
Okay, so somebody else is managing the VMs for you, they're managing all the network connectivity, you just say, here's my app, please run it for me.
Okay.
And then software as a service, SaaS, is the final one, that's bring your own users. They've got the software, they've got the network, they've got the hardware, all you're doing is consuming a service.
That's like Salesforce.com or Gmail or something like that.
Yep, precisely. So, you know, SaaS, to a certain extent, says I'm strictly a consumer of data. Until you think about something like, say, Salesforce, what are you putting in Salesforce? You're putting your contact information, your CRM. Does that have value to your business?
Sure.
Sure it does. And if you were strictly a utility, and you're saying we're back to that model of electricity that you're consuming, are you entrusting something to that electric company? Are you handing them your property, your assets, your information in this case, to them and saying, I want you to manage and maintain that for me?
Right, yeah.
Not really.
So the only risk that I'm taking from the electric company is that that light might not be there when I turn it on.
Precisely.
I'm not going to lose something that I have.
Yep. So so I came up with this thought about 6 or 9 months ago that was cloud computing more as the nature of a financial institution. And what this means is when you are putting this asset in the trust of somebody else, it's like when you go to the bank and deposit money, all right? That's your intellectual property. That's your data. And you're putting it in the hands of a third party. Now, most of us don't think too much about just running to, you know, what's the bank on the corner when I move? I'll start a checking account with them or whatever it is. But if you're a large organization, you're going to be investigating the institution and say, how are you going to be investing my money? Can you show me how safe your vaults are?
Yep.
Can you show me the processes you've got in place to make sure one of your employees isn't stealing my money? What are the services you're giving me? You know, if I'm giving you my intellectual property, how can I get my data or my cash back out? What are the fees I'm being charged for with that? And that gets into more about how we have to think about cloud computing vendors. All right?
Okay.
We have to be asking these kinds of questions of them. If you're giving me an SLA, what does that SLA actually mean? What do I get in return for it? If I put my data into you, how do I get it back out? Some of these solutions, I can easily feed tons and terabytes of data up, but how do I get it back out again?
Right.
You know, if I decide to move vendors, let's take some of the missteps that the financial institutions have had lately. A certain financial institution we won't name was going to institute an extra fee for, I think it was their debit cards that they tried to do, and there was a huge hubbub. Everybody says, well, I'm going to change banks. And we think, well, that's simple. Well, what if you've got your home loan and your auto loan all through that same financial institution?
It's
there's no repercussions
to all that.
So it's really about thinking about these things and investigating them before we make that leap.
Hmm.
And that's why I really like that financial comparison more than the strict utility model.
So the bottom line, I think, is what you're saying is that electricity essentially is a commodity. Mm-hmm. Internal light, electricity is today is the same as electricity tomorrow. But cloud computing is not a commodity. The vendors are different. They're providing different services.
Yep, the individual services we get may be a commodity, but it's that relationship with the vendor. And it's that level of trust and what I'm willing to give you and how much trust I do give you to hold that. That's really the differentiator here.
So what kind of questions should the consumers be asking to, when they do this investigation of the cloud vendors?
So SLA is always the first one I like to touch on. So a lot of them will go, I'll give you an SLA, I have 99.9% uptime. Mm-hmm. But if you read the fine print, if they violate that SDA or that SLA, you don't get this huge check back. They pay you back for the amount of service that you had paid for that you didn't get. So if I'm paying $10 a month to host a virtual machine, just as an example, and it's down and they say, I'm going to give you a buck back, but I lost $1,000 of business during that window, do I really care about that dollar?
Right.
So you need to ask that question. You also need to understand what is their, you know, if data privacy is a big thing for you, where does my data live? Mm-hmm. How do you secure it? What level of access do your own employees have to it? You know, the other big one is understanding if there's legal complications. I mean, the Microsoft had kind of addressed this with their Office 365 launching. In Europe, they got asked, what about the Homeland Protection Act? You know, could the U.S. federal government subpoena data on European clients that had data sitting in a European data center? Mm-hmm. The answer to the question was yes, they could, because Microsoft is a U.S. corporate entity. So the U.S. federal government can still get access to that information. It's asking the question.
The consumers are incurring a risk they may not even realize.
Yep. And then we did touch on the other big one is if I put data in, do I have a strategy for getting it back out if something goes south with the vendor?
Right.
So those would probably be the big four or five that I'd really caution people to make sure you understand those answers.
Okay. I like it. I don't think we should throw away the electricity vendor. It still works on one level, but adding, you can have more understanding by using a different metaphor.
Yep. I think utility works really good when you're talking to developers. I like the financial model when I'm talking to decision makers.
Good point.
Because for them, and for me especially, when you're trying to be an advocate for cloud, it's all about trust. You know, they can't just trust me as a consultant that's trying to, of course, you know, get them to do something and help them with that journey. They need to trust the vendor. And that financial model really helps illustrate
that. Funny you mentioned trust with financial institutions because online banking became popular a decade ago.
Yeah.
And there were some big trust issues with that. Should I bother entering my banking information, but enter my password through this web browser? Who can see it?
I was the same way. Even when I was shopping online, I'd find it online, and then I'd call the store to place the order first.
Right. Something we don't think about today. It was a big deal 10 years ago. We're right back where we started again, I think.
Well, it's a lot of this stuff, it's all cyclical.
So. Yeah. Oh, Brett, thank you very much.
Yep, no problem, Dave. Happy to be here. Technology that can help bring friends together.